Good morning. This is AJ coming to you from inside the quilting pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is Friday, November the 22nd, 2013. It is 5:30 a.m. Yes, you heard me right, 5:30 a.m. I do believe this is episode number 28. Have no title for it at this time. Or maybe I should just call it On the Road Recording Trial Number 2. Okay, today I am podcasting from my iPhone's voice memo. If you listened to my last week recording on Friday, I was using a recording app that I downloaded from iTunes. So I'm going to try my iPhone's voice memo recording. I am not sure how long I will be allowed to record using my voice memo, but I'm going to give it a shot. So I'll see what this does at the end of it. If this cuts me off, say 10 or 15 minutes in, I will repeat a recording on my way home using the Sony digital voice recorder that I purchased. My hopes in doing this traveling podcast, so to speak, is because of my commute time to and from work, and it gives me the best opportunity. But I am trying to find a way to get my little jingle incorporated at the beginning of the recording and at the end of the recording. For some reason, I just don't like the dead space and the hop right into the recording part of it. I like that little segue. And frankly, the music that I've chosen, I'm a jazz person, so it pretty much fits me. So I like that. I would like to be able to do it before and after the podcast. So I am almost on my straight shot for at least another 20 minutes. I am just going out of my development. Don't have a lot to put out. For those of you who are in the United States, Thanksgiving is next Wednesday. I am looking forward to it. I was going to go to Orlando to my daughter's house, but I decided against that. Looking forward to the Black Friday sew-in. So I will be spending Thanksgiving alone, not to try to whine. It's not a problem with me because it's not that I don't have places to go. I choose not to go. So there's a difference if you don't have somewhere to go versus choosing not to participate. So I will be happy at home. I will catch up on my sewing. I'll have 4 days off in a row. Yay for me. Well deserved, well needed, because I've been kind of cranky at work for the last couple of months for a variety of reasons that I am not going to go into. So, Black Friday sew-in, I think, I'm not sure who's hosting it. Someone's hosting it. Was it Pam? I think Pam is hosting it. If you are listening to me, I will probably participate in the podcast giveaway. I am not sure what I am going to do, whether it be a charm pack, jelly roll, or a ruler. I am not sure. Or a book. I am not sure of what I'm going to do. But just so you know, I will participate and the giveaway for Black Friday. Now, getting back to what I have been doing this past week, as you know, and I'm not sure if I talked about it, I did finish the Scrappy Trips. It'll go on the frame this weekend, as I think I've discussed in the last podcast. I will be starting another quilt, and I think it is Bonnie Hunter's Diamond quilt. I have purchased the wax paper wrappers. I can't remember what they're called, but it was something that she suggested on her write-up about doing the diamonds and a square. I did purchase that from Sam's Club. It was two boxes of 500, so I have 1,000 sheets of this wax paper squares, and I think they're about 10 3/4 by 12 1/2. I do believe that's the size. And what I am using them for is to do for the foundations for my strings that I need to create to get the block or the patterns or the squares to make the block. So, hold on 1 second. I gotta pause this. I don't even know if I can do it, but anyway, I may cough, and if I do, I apologize. Okay, there it goes. But anyway, so I'll be using that for my background or foundation. So I won't be using phone book paper. I won't be using copy paper. I won't be using muslin. I'm going to try this because with the shortened stitch length and the texture of the foundation paper, it should come out when you're ripping the paper off the back. It should come out fairly easy. And that's usually the problem I have with foundation piecing, is usually the background or whatever I'm foundation doing the piecing on, I can never get all of the paper out. So that is part of the reason I kind of stayed away from it. And I really don't like taking the sharp pointy tweezers and pulling out itty bitty microscopic almost pieces of paper from the seams. So I'm hoping using a little larger needle and a shorter stitch in this paper will make it a lot easier for me. The other thing that I want to talk about, in that same post, she discussed the ruler, the Wonder Cut ruler that she used. It both measured the solid strip for her contrasting color, as well as giving you the right angle for the diamond shape. So I did order that. I ordered it through, I think it was Connecting Threads. I ordered it through Connecting Threads, and it should arrive on Saturday. So all of my tools that I need to start this project will be with me for Black Friday sewing. But by the time Friday comes, I would have already started this project. What else am I working on? Have nothing else in mind other than the Majestic Mountains that she did. That's going to require some ironing of my shirt fabric in order to get that started. So I may be working on both of those the remainder of this week and during Black Friday sew-in. I really need to get as much sewing in as possible, just because I don't get to do it on the weekday. And I try to get as much done as I can, but then I have some neck issues and I start getting pains, literally pains in my neck. So I have to stop and stretch, go do something else, and then come back to it. But I wish I could just continually sew 8 hours a day for the time frame that I am off. I know that is not healthy, nor is it recommended, but I feel like I've missed a lot of time of just my weekly crafting because of work, and I'm trying to get all of that time back, which I know I can't, but I'm going to try anyway. Let's see what else is on my agenda for this podcast. Oh, I have had a couple of listeners give me feedback on the background noise, excuse me, as I am driving, and both don't seem to mind the noise, and they're happy to hear from me. So I will continue this version or way forward with my podcasting attempts. So I'll keep it up as long as everyone is okay with it and I can find the best combination that gets me everything that I want. My jingle before, my podcast in the middle, and my jingle at the end. I'm contemplating, this is rattling as you may know, I'm contemplating changing my blogspot.com blog to a quiltingpot.com blog. I already paid for the domain of the quilting pot through GoDaddy. I just got to figure out how to switch everything over. I'm not that great with doing that type of stuff on the internet. I'm not that internet savvy for programming and writing code and doing all of this. I'm pretty much a plug and play kind of girl. I may be able to sit down and figure out a few other things. I'm okay with spreadsheets and, you know, the basic office things. I'm okay with that, but the writing codes, I have not a clue. I mean, years ago, I wanted to be a programmer. I did get a certificate in Oracle, but that writing code stuff, it's not literal. It's not a literal thing, and one little mistake can change your whole output. So I did do a class on programming years ago, decided that was not for me. I am not a programmer. You have to be very special to be able to write code for a program, because it is not an intuitive type of profession. So for those of you that are programmers and deal with codes, my hat's off to you. Like I said, I am a plug and play kind of child. I wish I knew of someone that could set up a website for me. So using my GoDaddy quiltingpot.com address. However, I don't know any web designers that could set up something for me that it would be easy for me to maintain. So if any of you out there know of someone that has done that and does not charge an exorbitant amount to create it, please either email me at n2prpl2@gmail.com and let me know. Or send me some tweets. I'd greatly appreciate it, because I would like to get off the Blogspot site and get to something that takes me directly to the quiltingpot.com site. Right now I have it, when you do the quiltingpot.com, it should take you to my Blogspot address, and it does, but for some reason, as I said in the last podcast, some of my photos disappeared off the site. So I'm not quite sure if it's a Flickr thing, that the feed or the code that I used to put the pictures there no longer exists, or if it has something to do with this single sign-on thing that Google has made a lot of people do. If you're in Google, and you get single sign-on for YouTube and Facebook, and for Flickr, or is it Yahoo? I can't remember, but I don't like that. I had it separated for a reason, and every time I try to separate it away from my Yahoo address, I can never remember what I put in for Flickr, and everything I use tells me it's already being used, so I just gave up on that. And I may go back to that blog's post and try to put all of my pictures back in my current Flickr, but then again, I may not, because I have no idea how many photos that I have posted over the time that are no longer viewable on the blog post. And I may just leave it that way. But my intent is to go to a different blog, hopefully using my quiltingpot.com domain name, and be done with it. Let's see. What else can I talk about? It was something on my mind that I wanted to talk about. And when you get a certain age, if you don't speak it at that point, it is gone. And I do believe it has left me. Oh, I know what it was. My bucket list quilt. I am continuing to print out patterns for Pineapple Crazy. That's another Bonnie Hunter thing. It is not a free pattern. It is in one of her several books, and I don't remember which one. I do believe I have all of her books, except for I did not get the book that she and Mickey Dupree worked on together, and I think that is Ring Around the Hexes. I did not purchase that book. I do have the templates for the Hexes and Mickey Dupree's single book, but I think she had a single book, but whatever. I still have her templates to draw the different angles on your template, on your Hexy, Hexy templates, so that you can get the patterns for her different scrappy type versions of her hexagons. I am continuing on occasion to work on my center hexes, and they're all, basic background beiges, some with prints, some with tone on tones, and that's the centers that I chose, not necessarily to use her technique, but as a center that I thought would go with any other pieces of scraps that I may have to add to complete my ring. Once I start making the rings, I will probably choose another solid fabric to go in between each of my individual flowers. So that's one of those projects that may or may not finish while I am on this side of the grass. Excuse me again. It's kind of hard to pause when you're driving. Sorry. Anyway. So, yep. I went from pineapple crazy to hexes. So, yes, I am printing out more patterns. I do have my red that I have decided that will be the center of my pineapple blocks. Pause for a bit of coffee. And we'll see how that goes. But for right now, what's on the top of my list is the Diamonds in the Square and the Majestic Mountains. I have, for the Majestic Mountains, I have some brilliant colors that will, I think, make a great Majestic Mountain pattern using my shirts. But my thought process is, of course, using Bonnie Hunter's pattern or whomever's pattern for Majestic Mountains, because I know that particular pattern has been around, but I'm attributing her for it because I'm using her technique. But I have a few shirts that have some brilliant reddish, burgundy-ish reddish color, and some that have some very vivid yellows. So I think when I do mine, I am going to title mine, or its name for my quilt will be Sunrise Over Majestic Mountains, or Sunrise Over the Mountains, or something to that effect. But the colors that I recently got on some shirts, when you put them together, it just looks like a sunrise or a sunset. Probably more a sunset because of the red hue. So it will be Sunset Over the Mountains. That's what I'm going to title that quilt once I get it done. So if any of you think of that same thing and decide you want to do one and make yours a sunset, you heard it here first, guys. You heard it here first on the Quilting Pot. So I just want to put that out there because it is a good idea. You know, quilts are quilts and people have similar thoughts and ideas, and a lot of the traditional blocks are not owned by any one person. So you do what you want with your quilt. So, what else? I don't really have a lot to talk about. A little pause here. Collect this thought. Okay. Going to the doggy frontier, of course, people that have followed me know that I have two dogs. They both are Shih Tzu mixes. One's Shih Tzu Cavalier King Charles, one's Shih Tzu Bichon. Jody is the Shih Tzu Bichon, and Gizmo is the Cavalier King Charles mix. I bought these balls because they love balls, and every time I buy a ball, Jody does not leave it alone until he has killed the ball. Same thing with the squeakers. I buy these non-stuffed toys so that I don't have them try to kill it, and then I have a little stuffing from the toys everywhere. And killing it, I mean that Jody picks and bites and chews until he gets the squeakers out. And once he kills it, then it's okay. Yeah, I guess it's his intent of getting that squeaker out. He's not sure where it's coming from. He just knows he has to find it. And I purchased two new ones a couple of weeks ago, and Jody has already killed one and ripped the speaker out. He's working on the other one and the other speaker and the squeaker and the one that he's already killed. And he does the same thing with balls. He will chew and chew and chew and chew until he gets a hole in it, and then he starts chewing the ball pieces. So once he gets a hole in it, I have to get rid of the ball. I looked at purchasing Kong, K-O-N-G, balls, but they're a little pricey. They do have some Kong toys in which you put the treat on the inside, and then they spend time trying to get the treat out the middle. I do have a couple of those just because it keeps them occupied for a while and off of my body, because they both have to be touching me when I'm sitting down. But the balls that I bought, if you have ever been in a pet store or somewhere in a pet aisle and looked at the toys, there is this apparatus. It looks like a long ladle, so to speak, or a dipper, so to speak. And you put a ball in the cup end of it, and you use it to throw the ball so that they can chase it, and you can use it to pick it up, put it back in, and throw the ball. If you're really good, you can seat the ball in it while it's on the ground. And it may be something that was designed to help you or protect your back, so you're not doing a whole bunch of bending down and picking up the ball or whatever. So they had some at PetSmart that were refills for that item. When you buy the item as a set, you get a ball with it. But they also have refills for the balls, packages of twos and I think a package of three. And so I bought a package of two. Jody, and it's been over a week now, Jody is still trying to destroy the ball. But my problem with that is when I come home, the ball is in his mouth. I have to throw it. I throw it around the house so that he can chase it and have it bounce off the wall so that it goes all over the place. But those of you who have animals, they know they have tireless energy, sort of like children. And I'm not comparing children and dogs, but kids seem to have energy. If you can bottle, it would be the perfect natural energy drink that you could have. And that energy is in my Jody. I don't know where he got it from, because Gizmo is not like that. And Jody's three now, so he should be calming down. But he's not. So I'm always throwing the ball. And at night, when I'm lying down, he brings the ball to the bed and he drops it on my head, or he throws it to me, or he wants me to play. And I don't want to hide it, but I just kind of ignore it, and then he stops. And then when he stops, he's chewing on it. And all I hear is, that's the sound I hear. Whether I'm sitting down trying to relax to watch TV, whether I'm trying to go to bed. But I think at this point, after last night, when I went to bed around 8, 8:30 and at 11:21, I woke up to that sound. Then at 2 o'clock, I woke up to the ball being dropped on my head. Then at 3 o'clock, I woke up to the sound. And then I finally got up at 4 o'clock. So at nighttime, those balls are being hidden because I can't take it. Can't take it anymore. It's just too much. So I know he will be in a constant search for the balls once I hide them at night. That's what I'm going to have to do, or I'll never get any sleep. And this is the first time that it has really bothered me. And I guess because it was a long day yesterday. I had to be at work at 5:30. So I had to leave my house at 4:30. Because if you're in the military, when you get a report time and it's 5:30, they expect you there 15 minutes before that. They don't want you arriving on time. They want you there 15 minutes prior. And in order to assure that I get there 15 minutes prior, I usually leave 45 minutes early because it takes me 40 minutes to get to work. And you never know, it is deer season around here when I have to, you know, slow down or make a jog, or if there's an accident, or like this morning where it's very foggy, that I have to slow my roll just a tad bit. Most of my drive is 55 miles an hour on country roads. Lots of trees, very sparse populations. So I have to be careful when my visibility is low, if it's raining, or just this time of morning, because this is usually when the deer are out. And I don't know if I mentioned it in a previous podcast, but shortly after the first year I arrived in Georgia, that fall, on the way to work, 5:30 in the morning, 4-lane highway with a median in between, a deer came from a RV park place where people go and, you know, spend the night, a KOA place. And it has a little lake. They came from out of a patch of a woods on my left side, crossed 2 lanes, the median, another lane, and hit my left front end. So I hadn't been in Georgia 8 months, and a deer decided my car looked like it would be one that it wanted to run into. Wasn't expecting the deer on the left side. I always kind of look, you know, ahead to my right because they're on that side of the road. Or if there is a median, I kind of scan the median of both. But I would never expect a deer to go across 3 lanes with a median in between. But that's what happened. So I am very leery this time of year with deer population. I've already seen deer last month, actually, on the side of the road. And then they have armadillo running around, and then they have the wild boar, and, you know, it's a lot of critters in Georgia for nighttime driving problems. So, yeah, I kind of watch out on my commute. So, I don't know where all that, how that started or where it, or how to end it, but yeah, that's part of my commuting issue. So I am about 10 minutes from the front gate, and I have rambled. I have no idea how long I have rambled. I'm hoping once this is done, it has all been recorded, and I can upload it to GarageBand as a file. And if I can do that without any problem, this may be the way I go, using my iPhone, because I really like GarageBand. If that doesn't work, then my next podcast, I'll try to use my recorder. I did buy a microphone that can attach to my lapel so that I can record using that, and maybe some of that will take away the background noise. And it also has a noise reduction thing on the recorder, which might also take away some of the background noise. Then the proof will be in the pudding if I can upload it to my computer. and get it to iTunes. My plan is to record my jingle, record my podcast, and then record the ending jingle, edit it so that it seems to be a little seamless, and then try to, you know, upload it to my computer using the USB cable that came with the microphone. So I might have kind of faded out a little bit there, but it's starting to rain, so I'm trying to concentrate. So with that said, I think this will be the end of my podcast trials. This is, again, the second version of my mobile podcast at this point. I am using my iPhone voice memo, so we'll see how that comes out. Just so you know, you can reach me at thequiltingpot.com. That takes you to my Blogger blog. You can reach me at n2prpl2@gmail.com. I am Nitty AJ on Ravelry and Pinterest, and I am The Quilting Pot on Flickr, or I may be Into Purple, PRPL, on Flickr. So, until next time, may all your seams be straight.